Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are no longer in Baltimore, even though our shirts say Baltimore,
not.
Don Moeller,
no,
huh?
We're going to school today. We're going to be schooled today.
Well, we've gone across the border.
Across the border?
Yeah, from Baltimore to Washington.
You're talking about across the border. Dude, came down 295.
Listen,
we came 25 minutes,
man.
Across the border.
The border for me is where Washington football fans, where Hale and an Indian chief head and burgundy and gold shows up in the bar instead of purple and gold.
Yeah.
And I've been all through PG County and Southern St. Mary's.
Prince George's.
I'm not allowed to call it that.
No, baby, no, sorry.
No. You got to be from here. It's like being from Philly to call it Philly.
You weren't at the meeting? What? No, dude.
I told you, you're going to school today.
No, there's no PG.
All right.
That's all.
Would my buddy Curry have stood for PG?
No. No, Wayne Curry would have.
No one's allowed to call it PG or just. No one ever.
Not even Prince George's call it PG. Now,
they call it that on TV and in newspapers, a headline thing.
Yeah, it's a headline. It's so long. It's Prince George's County is long to say, but you don't say PGC, you say PG. It's old school.
I consider this a place where there used to be Orioles fans, that now it's...
No, there still are.
This is it, but...
Bowie, man, we're in Bay Sox country.
Right, but you're in Bay Sox country for sure, but there's still Orioles fans on this side of the border.
I didn't introduce you yet. Our honorable Lieutenant Governor, my favorite Republican, by the way, Michael Steele is here. We are at the home of the crab
bomb. That was the kiss of death.
I know, right?
What's that?
your favorite Republican.
God, help me.
You know what really stirs up? I have a lot of Republican friends who, when I call you my favorite, they want to know why. And I'm like, well, for the most part, he tries to make sense.
Your Republican friends say that?
Yes, very much so.
That tells you what my problem is.
Here we
right?
go.
Over my timeline today, they're calling you the next governor of Maryland on my timeline, right? So I'm getting that. We're at Jerry's, and this really, both of you guys, you know each other through politics. Mike, I know you a little bit from Bob Ehrlich and campaigning for Bob 20 years ago. You both have a special relationship with this place, and I know we're going to talk to the owners here, but we've convened here on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, on the hashtag Crab Cake Tour, to eat this legendary thing that no one else calls it what they call it. They call it a crab cake everywhere else. Here they call it the crab
bomb. Because, baby, when you see it, it is the bomb.
Okay.
Number one.
We're in your land.
And when you see it, you're just going to go, okay, this is going to be this. You need to understand. And we'll get into it.
I've had 19 crab cakes in the last 15 days, Mike.
Okay, well, the 20th is going to rock your world.
Well, the table's set here. I got
it's
a napkin.
Rock your world. Yes. We got drinks, water.
Well, for Prince George's County and your experience in Prince George's County, this is not Don's first time down 197.
No. Don's old school.
You know, my good buddy, I was thinking a lot about my good friend Wayne Curry. You and I talked about it last week, a little bit on the recon. I thought about him again this weekend when I dropped my granddaughter off at UNCW and was meeting her roommates for the first time. And I'm thinking, man, I'm in the way back machine, 40, 50 years ago when Wayne Curry and I bumped into one another on day one at Western Maryland
College.
Did it
always look like this in here?
No.
This
is a new location.
Right.
The original location was over in Lanham.
I'm gonna say I didn't come here with
Wayne.
Yeah.
This is new. It's been here probably a good 10, 12 years or so.
I'm gonna say, Governor, my recollection, the one that Wayne and I went to on a number of occasions was almost like in a little strip mall.
Yeah, it was. That's
correct?
The one. The original Jerry's over in Lanham.
Well, that's a true Prince George's County story of success, right?
No, exactly. And it's they've done very well. They're doing very well. They've got national notoriety. People know of Jerry's Seafood, the crab bomb, when they come through this area. Of course, I do everything I can to make sure people check it out when they come to the neighborhood.
Well, I'm going to every county in the state this month. I'm trying to find a crab cake in Caroline County this weekend. And I probably am on 12 counties in 15 days. I mean, I've gone somewhere else every day to try to space it out. I did have a PG County crab cake, and I learned...
He did it again.
He can't help it.
He just did it again.
We'll just he's going to do it.
How many times am I going to say Redskins while I'm here, too?
Yeah, right. No.
Because I just am, okay?
Yeah, you just are. It's okay. There's no political correctness.
Is there third quarter every time I do this. I'm going to get a fine.
My kids make me put that money in the swear jar.
It's not a swear word. It's just a P and a G.
Well, hey, school us a little bit now. Lieutenant Governor and I have not been with you on the tour. You've been out there 2 weeks. What are your takeaways?
This is my second Prince George's County crab cake.
There you go.
And it turns out they're associated with the owners here, which I didn't realize. The Crab Cake Cafe has some association. So I'm going to learn about that in the last segment. And we're going to have a crab cake here at Cherry's. I would say that I've learned so much. I mean, it's been 15 days and I've been on the road everywhere. How beautiful the state is. And I'm not just pandering to a guy who was lieutenant governor who may run for governor.
I agree.
Like, I've driven the parts of the state that I never knew existed. And maybe it was William Donald Schaefer calling a place an S house. And, you know, maybe it's the perception of Trump versus Biden, red versus blue, rich versus poor, water versus not, internet versus not. But this is a beautiful state.
It's a gorgeous state. And when I was lieutenant governor, I had the privilege of visiting all 152 of our municipalities here in the state. And it was, that's the granular level. You're looking at it at the county level. But when you go to the municipalities, a municipality which located here in Prince George's County, this as small as basically 50 people. And it has a mayor. And it is just, you know, to the largest municipality when you get to Baltimore City. That range of experience really exposes you to what makes Maryland unique. It's not just the nature of its politics or things like that. It is the fact that we've got mountains, we've got oceans, we've got beaches, we've got farms, we've got, you know, rolling hills, we've got flatlands, we've got, you know, major metropolitan cities, we've got rural, you know, bastions of just.
I haven't even been to the hills yet. I haven't been west of Lake Frederick yet. Yeah.
And when you go west, young man, you will understand exactly the full scope and breadth of this wonderful state. It is why, you know, I think a lot of people when they come to this region, even on a short visit, they walk away, as you know, Don, with something that's a little bit extra in their pocket from their time here in Maryland. And that's just, it's the people. It's, you know, when you get to Baltimore and they call you hun, when
it's a proximity
you go
to these
shore,
amazing
you're talking
things.
To the watermen.
Pick up.
I haven't been further than 2 hours from home, and today would be a great example. You invited me here today, and I today traveled on a road I've never been on in 52 and a half years of my life.
Right.
And I have spent plenty of time in Prince George's County. There used to be a little place down in Landover that had a ceiling on it that, you know, I would see Dr. J. So I spent a lot of time in Prince George's County on 295. But much like 50, I had never in my life until an hour ago in the rainstorm pulled off 197. I didn't know the difference between 197 and 198. I just have never really meandered in this part of this county.
I mean, unless you have a real reason to, you typically won't. I've met people over my life here in the state who've never been outside of Baltimore, who've never actually been outside of Prince George's County. And people are like that. I mean, there's a homebodiness to Maryland. You know, it's kind of got that small town kind
of folksy thing.
Exactly, it's sort of folksy vibe. So it's very provincial.
Yes,
but it also has this sort of next generation kind of energy to it, where you see particularly where you see growth as the current census shows. You know how migration patterns are changing and evolving, and how the state is growing and how the individual counties are growing. So,
Governor, when you talk about that, that's fascinating, because Nestor and I have talked both on and off the air. I shared with you that I've just had my first experience at National Harbor.
Right.
And when you talk about the diversity, not only of this state, but of your county that you love, the diversity at National Harbor was inspiring. And when we get into your politics, we're going to talk about that. But it's very different from other parts of Prince George's County that are 10 or 15 minutes away.
But not only other parts of the county, but other parts of the state.
Right.
When you consider a National Harbor versus the Baltimore Harbor, right? Same kind of concept, you know, cross-section of retail, commercial, residential.
Dragon boats.
Yeah, right. You know, but they're subtle differences, some not so subtle. So when you're standing on the harbor looking out, you see the state of Virginia right across the Potomac from you, right? Whereas at Baltimore, you got the open Chesapeake. You know, so you have this very different kind of dynamic. But there are a lot of similarities as well in terms of, you know, gathering places, the kind of environment for families and communities to come and have a good time, grab a good meal.
And live.
And live, raise their families.
When you say similarities, I apologize for jumping in.
Yeah.
I actually, as a Baltimorean, was a bit envious of the energy at National Harbor a week or two ago
right.
when I was there. I remember that energy when Harbor Place began.
Right.
And our good buddy Ron Cassie will be on soon to talk about his look at what the Inner Harbor can be again.
Right.
But right now, the energy and the vibe...
Well, I live at the Inner Harbor.
At National Harbor is very different, right, Nestor?
I bought in.
Right.
I went with Donna Edwards down to the Crab Cake Cafe, and we
right.
sat for an hour. And we didn't do anything on film other than eat the crab cake. We
right.
didn't have what
right.
we were doing.
Right.
Donna's going to join me on Zoom the way
right.
you usually do. And it was a hot day, and it was a quick crab cake. We went to see Bruno Mars. So I got a hotel down there.
Oh.
And I had never, other than...
So you went to see Bruno Mars, you didn't call me?
Didn't have an extra for you. It was a tough ticket.
He was sitting on the roof.
Dude. I had the Euchre seats. So I went down, and I booked a room at the AC because my wife, I scored Bruno Mars tickets. Then we invited Donna for the crab cake because we knew we were on the tour. And it turned be a hot day. We stayed in downtown National Harbor, downtown.
Right.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
Right.
The last time, to me, it was two hotels. It was the Gaylord 15 years ago when the Capitals
right.
had a thing I went there to.
Right.
And I've been to MGM three times for concerts. Once a year for, I saw Stevie Wonder there
right.
2 years ago, right? But you go right to the casino, you park, you're almost going like Maryland Live. You don't see it. This time, we saw it. And much like you, Don, I saw it on Friday. Don saw it on Saturday. We saw it on two different days. We had the same exact experience from a wow factor.
Right.
And talking to Don about the people that fought it and your relationship with Wayne Curry and where you were politically 20 years ago, to see that it actually happened and that it's a success that everybody can
yeah,
sort of drink
I remember
bit,
when
right?
Bob Ehrlich and I broke ground for National Harbor after years of noise and wrangling. There's the bomb.
Oh, he's got a bomb.
Years of wrangling and noise. What's always struck me about it is, and this is also the case with a number of other sites in Prince George's County, is that the resistance to doing
yes.
anything in a black neighborhood, the resistance to bringing economic, not development, but economic investment into black communities in a county like Prince George's, the wealthiest black county, period, in the United States, a majority black county. And
I told my wife that walking in front of the Marilyn Monroe statue. I literally said that to her.
Yeah.
She didn't know.
Yeah.
She's a Marylander, been
yeah.
here 20 years,
yeah.
just didn't know that
yeah.
fact.
And the fact is that the level of resistance, the excuse making, will they shop here or will they, continue to go around the Beltway to Montgomery County, to Montgomery Mall, or go to Pentagon City in Virginia.
Tyson's?
And I'm like, dude, there's a little thing that we all know. It's a little adage called "Build it, they will come." But you've
get him started on the Iowa cornfield this
right,
week.
Right, right,
not
right.
this week.
Oh yeah, oh
not
yeah. Did
week.
You see that game?
Oh, man,
did you see that?
I can still cry every time.
Mike,
best thing baseball. Best thing baseball.
They finally got it right.
I'm not a contrarian. I just never seen it.
I wish he wouldn't say that stuff out loud, Governor.
Dude, you really. I don't sheltered life. I mean, you got the hair, and I'm thinking this man is living large. He's
living
large,
life.
Right?
I didn't have time to watch baseball.
Can you imagine being 50-some years old
and not even seen it?
Field of Dreams.
Haven't seen. Okay, your homework assignment this weekend.
I'm saving Shawshank Redemption.
Don't tell me you haven't seen that either.
Those are the two I'm waiting on.
Oh my God.
But that was a beautiful thing. They got it right. Best thing baseball's done all year was that.
Exactly.
All right, so having said that. when you look at the kind of development that you see expressed elsewhere in the DMV, right? And I would say the DMVB, so that would be DC, Maryland, Virginia, and Baltimore. When you look at that kind of development, why is it so hard for Baltimore and Prince George's County and specifically to see the kind of growth? So Schaefer had a dream. That dream was realized. I remember I was I remember when they broke ground for Inner Harbor my freshman year at Hopkins. What's up, man? How's it going?
How are you?
To see ya. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Everything's good.
Great.
Yeah, we're
fine.
Thanks for checking in on us.
Thank you.
You got it.
We're getting a crab bomb over here. It's coming
soon. It's good to be back in the neighborhood, right? This is good.
Thank you.
We're good. Thank you very much.
We're going to mic you up in a little bit.
We'll bring you over.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
So that was the owner, so just get
you. Oh, I know, yes.
Okay. Why is that tension still there? So as a freshman at Hopkins, I remember there used to be a playground where the harbor is right now, and my roommate and I, Rob Freeman and I, we used to go down there late at night with a bag of chips and a liter of Coke, sit on the swings and just talk about college and life and everything. Our sophomore year, we come back, it's gone, right? They started construction on this new enterprise. So Schaefer had a dream and it's realized. Wayne Curry, God bless him, had a dream and it was realized ultimately. But the fighting that had to ensue in order for that dream to be realized was just amazing.
And it's the verbiage that you're alluding to, Governor, when they said it. Right out of, I pulled up the Washington Post article from 2000. It will never happen.
It will never
happen. It's a pipe dream.
Right, right.
It's environmentally unsound. I mean, just go down.
Well, Don Edwards was telling me about the eagles and trees being cut down.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just all sorts of, and Disney. I mean, Disney wanted to put Disney World there.
We had talked to Disney about Disney coming into the county for a theme park. Because we had Six Flags, which was owned by Redskins owner. I mean, Redskins, the Washington football team.
That quality gentleman.
So
from Potomac.
And he is. The reality of it was all of the top line noise was actually being fed by a lot of the stuff that was happening on the ground beneath the surface, the resistance to actually expanding economic investment in the county. So we worked with the Curry administration at the time. We worked with, leaders who really saw the vision. And, like I said, we broke ground, and the next thing we know, we got this incredible enterprise underway. MGM is looking around to establish a space on the East Coast. Boom. We got them in the backyard. And
Bruno Mars.
And Bruno Mars. And there's more to come. But the question is whether or not we can still get the kind of retail success in a county like Prince George's. We've got where Landover Mall used to be. We've got, this wonderful patch of land there that's just sitting that could be an investment hotspot.
Well, next to the stadium, when it's planned that way, I've seen that at Gillette Stadium, what they've done in Lambeau Field to build a neighborhood, Atlanta with the baseball stadium, building a neighborhood around it. And, I mean, Wrigley is... done that as well.
And look at what the Ravens were able to do when they put the Ravens Stadium in downtown Baltimore, the economic development that grew up around that. Then you add, Orioles Park, which is the prettiest park. Everybody talks Wrigley. I get it. It's old school. I got it. But when you walk into Oriole Park, you're like, okay, damn, this is baseball.
It's still the best park.
It's baseball.
Well, this
baseball.
Is the issue. I mean,
the economic growth that comes from that.
Well, what's going to happen with the Orioles and Angelos or the next owner and whatever fight's going to happen about the future of the franchise, it's going to be about turning that parking lot into something economic that's not a parking lot.
You've got Landover Mall.
You get a National Football League team in this county.
Well, but that's just it. Will they be here? Because the question now is, does Dan Snyder move? He wants to go back. He wants to put the Washington football team in Washington. Does he move back to Washington? Does he take a ride down 95 to Virginia? I don't think the Virginia, even though that's their training facilities and the like, I don't see Virginia... Ashburn being that, I mean, because no one's going to drive Right. All the way down there.
Well, when you talk about Boeing World Park being 30 years old, FedEx Fields now, it'd be 30 soon.
Yeah,
it's getting there.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Stop and think about it, yeah.
Well, every time I made a turn off of Landover Road down here a couple months ago, and like Capital Center just blinked on me.
Right.
Been
right.
gone 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just it's still there in my mind the way Memorial Stadium is.
Right.
Because I mean, the space itself kind of glows of the things you did there.
Right, exactly. So, you know, so we'll see, you know, the partnership between owners and the state and, more importantly, the communities in which these facilities reside has to be a strong one. It has to be a tripartisan one, and I mean that owner, community, state. And we'll see whether in Baltimore, when and if new management ownership comes, what they do, to your point about, you know, cementing
that. Well, that's going to be a big piece
for the city. I'm saying.
When you're saying, how does Harbor Place, all of this, Harbor Place was connected to the baseball stadium,
yeah,
and then became connected to the football stadium. Now it feels a little disconnected to your
correct.
Whereas those casinos feel connected to National Harbor.
Yeah, yeah.
And when Don Edwards says, I live up there, people feel connected
to
that.
Yeah, they do feel connected. So there is all of that. And then there is the piece that I'm always worrisome about whenever we start talking about economic investment. And that is, what does that look like and who does it impact? So when my alma mater, Johns Hopkins, started to expand and develop opportunities around its hospital campus and all of that. I was chair of the development committee that was looking into that by virtue of being lieutenant governor. And I remember sitting in some meetings, and everybody was, you know, excited about the planning, excited about what that would look like. You know, this is an old official hand how that process works, right? I remember at the end of the presentation asking one question which silenced the room. And that was, so what do you do with the families that are already there?
Right.
What do you do with the grandmother who's lived in that house for the last 50 years? What is her economic investment? Because she's already made it. Because she bought this house in the 1950s with her husband and raised a family. You know, that's grandma's place now. Kids come back.
It's nice that your hospital's over there.
It's nice that the hospital wants to develop the area and make an investment in the community. But if it means pushing grandma out, is it really an investment?
Particularly, Governor, at a time, and again, in the next segment, we're going to get into all things politics, but particularly at a time when we have an affordable housing crisis in the United States of America and in Maryland.
And in Maryland.
So grandma is just fine living where she's living. She can't afford the new place.
She can't afford it. So the gentrification for me is a real red herring. It's like a red flag for any kind of development, because it has to be balanced. It has to account for existing communities, and you don't get to push them out with pennies on a dollar. And so all of that has to be in balance. It's one of the challenges that cities, particularly municipalities, have, where they, you know, you've got people who want to build these big stadia and do all these wonderful things. That's great. Who pays for them? And in the process of paying, what happens to the existing infrastructure? And what happens to the families that are already there? So these are some of the big questions that, I mean, it's one thing to put a stadium in a field. It's another thing to put a stadium in a neighborhood. And so that's something that is something, you know, we're all going to be aware of as, you know, the owners in Baltimore and the owners here in Prince George's County of these big multi-billion-dollar franchises make their kind of economic decisions. The community wants them. Like, to your point, Nessa, there's a lot of upside to that. But there are also some consequences. And I think government needs to be better at balancing those consequences against the economic upside, because sometimes it doesn't necessarily work out. Well, a good case in point is Pemlico.
Perfect example.
I've been talking about that for 30 years.
Yeah. What do we do? Because I love the horse racing industry. It is part of the heritage of the state. But I think that there's no economic strategy to really kind of do it. I have to be very frank. I always get in trouble, and I'm sure I probably will. But I've always felt that these conversations have always been from a position of how do we make money, not how do we create investment, how do we create community, how do we establish a brand, how do we build on that brand. We don't want the Preakness to go from Maryland, from Baltimore specific. That's our brand, baby. That you take away the Preakness, like taking away crab cakes, right? It's just, you know.
But what are you going to dump into it? And then what's it going to become the other 364 days of the year?
Well, but that's where we get into. So how do we make this something more than just a one-stop destination? In other words, the only thing you can do there is horse races. I don't think there is. I think there are other things you can do, and I think that if the track is part of a broader economic development strategy that involves the surrounding neighborhood, that has the track. So look at National Harbor. You do more at National Harbor and the Inner Harbor than eat.
Sure.
You've got the museum. Right in the Inner Harbor. You've got the Science Center. You've got, in other words. It's not a one-trick pony, all right? It does other things besides racing. And so that's my question is, do we look at it through that lens or do we just look at it exclusively? Well, here's a track, it's oval, horses run around it, and that's all we can do.
Well, because we did it in 1921.
Well, but I think when we've talked about it, we've had them on, and we'll continue to talk about it. I think Bill Cole and others, there are groups looking at that who, certainly... a number of the elected officials who recognize it's not just a track. It's got to be a huge redevelopment effort in that whole area. And I'm not so sure that the National Harbor model is not a good model.
It's a perfect
for Pimlico.
Model. It's a perfect model. You want commercial. You want residential. You want the kind of investments to be made in which the community is a part of that. This is not about displacing the black folks and white folks and Hispanics and others who live in that community. This is about integrating them. And so why shouldn't they benefit from the economic upside that comes?
How do we make it a better neighborhood?
It's not even a question of making it, quote, a better neighborhood, because I think some of those folks would argue, well, we like each other. We, you know, better how? You mean in terms of economic development? So that becomes a little...
Better schools. Make it for our children.
Well, yeah. But the question becomes, how do you make it a more well-rounded community so that it benefits from the economic opportunities that are typically afforded just a small slice of individuals and business leaders, as opposed to everybody getting to have a piece of that pie. The way these things typically work is you have the pie, and if the community is anywhere involved, it's a sliver. It's just a sliver. Now everything else is divided up, among the developers and the financiers and so forth. What I'm saying is let's look at the pie and go, well, the community already owns the pie. We're asking you to add some ingredients, make an investment in this pie. It's an apple pie. You want to add some raisins? Okay, bring your raisins, baby. You want to add a little bit more cinnamon? Bring your cinnamon. That's good. So what are you going to invest in the pie that's already there? See, that's the problem. We think we got to create something new. Oh, no. No, we got it here. How do we now improve on it? To your point, how do you make the kind of the development and bring about the kind of the development
place
that
exists.
Makes sense?
Yeah. It's 40 years old. It's a structure. What are we going to do?
What are
we going to
do
with that space?
That's right.
Right.
That's
Michael
right.
Steele is here, former lieutenant governor and sometimes MSNBC contributor, full-time eater of the cherries, Crab Bob.
Yeah,
Don
baby.
Moeller, my partner in crime here for Baltimore Positive. Don, I know you're going to get a little political in this next segment.
When we come back,
vaccines,
I think we might ask.
Matt,
will he
COVID?
Or won't he? I think we might get into a little will he or won't he when we come back.
All right. Well, we're here. We're in Prince George's County. Never PG. I see a hail sign on the wall over there. It's football season. It's been 27 hours since I've had my last crab cake.
Here we go. You're
I had
in
a
withdrawal.
Breakfast crab cake
it's,
in Oxford yesterday.
It's withdrawal right now.
We're in Bowie. We're on 197, right around the corner from 50 and 301 and the Bowie Bay Sox. We're back for more on Baltimore Positive right after this.